allowed to see someone peculiar. Now, you look at me and say, well, Brother Brock, you're supposed to be peculiar because you're awful peculiar. And that's understandable. If you call me peculiar, that's okay. James, you can't call me peculiar, but everybody else can. We ought to be peculiar. But see, here's the thing. The world doesn't like peculiar. The world system, society, doesn't like that. They like everybody to conform to the way the world is going. Now, I remember in 1988, I went to a football game in LSU at Death Valley. And I happened to be an Alabama fan. And as they're playing LSU, and if you've ever been to LSU football game at night in Death Valley, you don't want to be on the opposite team. You don't want to be cheering for them whatsoever. So I was brave and I was brash and I brought my Alabama hat. And as we walked into the stadium, all the LSU fans were really friendly and real happy. And there was four of us that were cheering for Alabama. And we were in the midst, right behind the LSU bench, and we were surrounded by gold and purple. It was just four of us standing out amongst them all. And they were real nice to us as the game began. Matter of fact, as we were walking in, they were offering us food and everything else because they were convinced that LSU was going to beat Alabama really bad that night. And so as the game was going on, it became very apparent that LSU was not going to win. And as the game continued to get closer and closer, they continued to start looking at us. And they began to give us dirty looks. And then they began to say some not-so-nice things about our heritage. And they started to say things about us and make comments about what we were wearing. And come to find out, there was a goal line stand that Alabama stood against LSU and they couldn't get in. And the four of us stood up and we erupted, yeah! And everybody else was sitting down. You can imagine the glares that we got. So as the game ended, Alabama ended up winning, which was a very rare thing at that time, especially in Death Valley at night. You didn't beat LSU. And as we left out of there, we stood four together in a group tightly knit together. We took off our Alabama gear as best as we could. We put it in our pockets and we hid it because, unfortunately, the beginning of the game, when they think they're going to win, they're very nice. But at the end of the game, when they have gotten beat, they are not nice whatsoever. There was beer everywhere, just a horrible mess. So the four of us stood together, and as we walked out, took off my hat, I stuffed it in my shirt, and we walked out, tried to be as casual as we could, because it was like the four of us were in the den of lions. It was not a pleasant thing. Now, we were rejoicing inside because we had our team had won the game, but we were very scared for our life. And you say, now, wait a minute, brother. What's that got to do with anything? See, here's the thing. We've been studying the book of Revelation, how tribulation is coming. And we've talked about, hey, listen, this is going to happen. You stand for Christ. As a matter of fact, most of you came up last Sunday, and you took a stand for Christ, and you said, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to identify myself with Jesus Christ. Now, I was not ashamed to identify myself with the college football team that night. I stood proudly. But here's the thing. We need to stand proudly for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand and realize that when you make that stand, when you decide that you are going to declare yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to declare yourself a blood-bought believer that is going to cost you something. You're going to get glares. You're going to get those who don't like you. You're going to get those who may even try to hurt you when you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, it is worth it. Now, that night, when we left the stadium, I would have been in a lot of trouble if the four of us had split up. If they had one had gone this way and went this way and I went my way, I'd have been alone in a sea of gold and purple. And I would have been very afraid for my life. But there was something about being four of us together that gave me strength. This morning, I want us to look at God's Word and understand that we're to stand with each other protection that God gives to us to stand one with another, because tribulation is coming. The issues of life is going to get harder and harder. We need to be one with another. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8. He says, finally, that means he's been talking about other subjects. He says, now listen, as I'm winding this letter up, here's some things I want you to consider. He says, finally, be ye all of one mind. The word ye connotates fellow Christians. He says, listen, I want you as Christians to have the same focus and to have the same mindset. Now, that doesn't mean we're all robots. It doesn't mean that we all like the same things. Some people like English peas. If you like English peas, I'm not in your group. Some people like butter beans. Some people like corn. How many of you like fried chicken? You're a Baptist. Amen, all right? So fried chicken and mashed potatoes and everything else. Some people like all of those things. And that's good, but that's not what it's talking about. He's not talking about food groups. He's saying, I want your focus to be on one thing, and that one thing is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing, though, when we start to talk about the Lord, and we start to sing about the Lord, we start to pray or whatever, isn't it amazing that your mind starts going off somewhere else? Right now, I've lost some of you already. Your minds have already disappeared out in the cosmos. You're thinking about what you're going to eat because I said fried chicken. So now you're thinking about lunch. But isn't it amazing that we lose focus and we start thinking about other things when the most important time for us to focus on one thing is right here when we're gathered together. So he says, listen, I want all of you to be at one mind, one focus. I want the most important focus you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, I want you to have compassion one of another. Compassion one of another. Brothers and sisters, if there's anybody that we ought to seek and to be compassionate, it's fellow believers. I heard somebody one time lament the fact that Christians are the only group of people, it seems, that shoots their wounded. When we hear somebody fall, they're going to do everything they can to destroy us because we're peculiar. We stand out. We got to be compassionate one with another. Amen? Yeah, be compassionate by saying amen at least. All right, here's the next one. It says, be having compassion one with another. Love as brethren. Treat each other like you belong to each other. I tell my kids this all the time. But listen, I've told them from the very moment they could understand. There's only two things in life you have. You have God and you have each other. Love each other. Now say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. You're telling me that your children love each other every day? If they're like your children, no. They fuss and they fight, but I tell you what, they'll defend one another. Blood is thicker than water. Amen? Have you agreed? Blood is thicker than water. You got a family relative that drives you absolutely bonkers. Every time you see them, you just cringe. But I tell you what, they get in trouble, you're right there for them. Love each other just like your blood family. Just like your blood family. Alright? And it says this, be pitiful and be curious. Now that word pitiful doesn't mean hangdog look. That's not what it means. It's the same kind of word as the word compassionate. In other words, look for ways to be a blessing to fellow believers. Let me ask you a question. When you came in here this morning, did you look for someone that you could be a blessing to? Did you look for ways and things that you could do? Maybe you saw somebody who was maybe frowning, or maybe someone that you've not recognized before. Did you avoid them like the plague? Or did you go up and introduce yourself? Now, they went, Brother Brian, we're not supposed to be touching and everything else because of 6 foot distance. What's wrong with standing 3 feet away and saying, good morning, I'm Brian, what's your name? What's wrong with doing that? There's nothing wrong with doing that. You're masking up and you're standing there. I'm not saying go give them a big old kiss on the lips. But you can talk to each other and make yourself known to each other, being compassionate, courageous, being helpful to one another. How about opening the door one for another? It drives me absolutely bonkers when somebody, especially a lady, is walking to a door and I see someone go right in front of them and go right through and not even hold the door open. How many remember what it was like for a man to open the door for a woman? That's sexist, Brother Brian. No, it's just common decency. How many of you ladies appreciate a man to open the door for you? Does it make you feel less than a woman? No. Be compassionate one for another. Fellas, how many of you like your wife to cook you dinner? Is that sexist? No. our social media, Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, TikTok or whatever the thing is, and somebody gets on you on social media, guess what you want to do? You want to get right back on and flame them back. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will definitely hurt you. Brothers and sisters, when you are done wrong, it doesn't mean you give it back, especially by a fellow believer. And they say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, I shouldn't be treated that way by a fellow believer. They shouldn't be doing that to me. No, they shouldn't. But it doesn't mean that you put that to them. Because we're all we've got. If me and those other three fellows, as we were walking out of the stadium, if we started beating each other up and started thrashing each other because we were Alabama fans, how good that would that have been? What would have happened? The crowd would have saw that. What would they have done? Started jumping